He's involved in a number of businesses.
He's a great role model.
Telling it like it is, giving you both sides of the story. This is Katz at Night.
Great American, a great New Yorker.
Now, here's John Katzimatidis.
Now, we're back at Katz at Night. John Katzimatidis here, and I am in the studio with four beautiful ladies.
You are lucky.
I am lucky, but I don't know if I can handle it. I mean, we got Rita Cosby. Rita, you did a great job interviewing the president.
And, thank you, guys. Thank you.
And Monica, and we're going to ask you, Monica Crowley, we're going to ask you what your thoughts.
Great. He was terrific, by the way. I thought the president was terrific.
He was phenomenal, and you did a fantastic job, Rita.
Thank you.
And Margo Katzimatidis, how are you?
Hi.
And Lydia Serrano.
I'm here.
Who sits next to me every night.
Yeah, that's right. I'm here again. But I'm on the other side now.
On the other side.
Where Matt usually sits.
I apologize. You're on my left.
Never on the left.
Okay. Well, where do we start? Monica?
Well, Rita, I think you did a fantastic job. Great probing questions of President Trump, and he answered them really in interesting ways. You spent a good deal of time on the vaccine and the distribution of the vaccine. We would not be in this place, public health-wise or economically, without Operation Warp Speed, which Donald Trump moved heaven and earth in a private partnership between the government and the private sector to get these vaccines developed and a distribution plan out so we could get to the point where we're here.
Which is why I was asking today. I was like, isn't it bittersweet? Because it was so much work on his part to get to this moment.
You know, he said something that really caught my ear because I started my career working for former President Richard Nixon. Nixon did so much good in terms of the world and American policy. And yet he never gets credit for anything. And I heard President Trump say the same. And this is going to be the constant fight, is to make sure that President Trump, in fact, gets the credit for so many things, including Warp Speed, including the Abraham Accords, including delivering a booming economy, and so many other things. So you did a great job in bringing all of that out.
Oh, I really like the way when you asked him, do you think this is the party of Trump? And he said, you know, I don't want it. It doesn't have to be the party of Trump. It just has to be somebody that knows what they're doing and that will do the right thing. And that's ultimately what he wanted to with Operation Warp Speed. And Margo, you made an astute observation regarding his demeanor. You know, you've known him for decades. You've known him for a very long time. And he did seem rather calm. I was expecting him to be a little bombastic, especially when he was talking about Liz Cheney. He had me chuckle, of course, when he called her a loser, because she is. But what did you think, Margo, of his demeanor?
I think, you know, all in all, what he's been through and the torture, basically, that he goes through with the press, he speaks what he really believes in his heart, and he just speaks at a normal tone, and he doesn't want to be attacked. And he's always tried to do the best for America. And that is the bottom line. He loves America.
You know, I thought he came across very presidential.
Mm-hmm. He has been attacked from day one. His family has been attacked. And his company has been attacked. And I really feel bad for that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he did a real good job for our country. Let's talk about the vaccine. If the vaccine, you know, he said he really, really worked hard on the FDA, and look, he succeeded. And I'm going to say something that's never been said before. Right now, 500,000 people have died from COVID. The number would have been 1.5 million.
Absolutely.
Well, that was the one thing I was asking him, John, too. Like, do you feel the country would have been different? Yeah.
It would have been 1.5 million. I want every one of our listeners to hear that. 1,500,000 people have died, triple who did die, if the vaccine wasn't invented in record time. What do you guys say?
Yeah, what did you think, John, when he said, you know, what took so long? My first question to him was about the vaccine, because it's obviously the big, you know, the big news that just happened, John. But it's sort of to your point. He was, I thought, very pensive, as you were saying, Margo, too. I thought he came across very presidential, very measured. You know, kind of, sometimes, as you talk about, we see these bombastic, and was more thoughtful. You know, we've all talked to Trump so many times through the years, and so I didn't, you know, he seemed very listening and very appreciative and understanding of the moment in history, too, between what's happening in Israel and the vaccine and all these elements. But I thought it was fascinating, John, that right away I said, you know, what do you think of this moment? And he basically said, what took so long? So it does make you wonder what it would have been like in America had he stayed on and been at the helm, given how fast it was with Operation Warp Speed. Would we have had a president who ever would have worn the mask?
I want him to go to sleep, and I want every American to say, thank you, Mr. President, because a million more people would have died. In the United States, maybe 2 or 3 million more people would have died in the world if he didn't press the button and say, you guys be damned, you go and solve that problem ASAP. I don't know if anybody else could have done the vaccine in 6 months.
You remember he gave federal funds also to Pfizer, also to Moderna. He also pushed the drug companies to work
faster. We're busy
faster.
Giving federal funds right now. They want to give them to Iran.
Right, and Iran. And he also called the head of the FDA to the White House to press him, to push him to have that emergency authorization for the vaccine. So every single day that it was wasted that we didn't have the vaccine, more people died. And because of him pushing forward, more people survived.
He had his own personality that a lot of people didn't like.
But he has a lot of courage.
But
yeah, that's not the reason you don't pick somebody.
He did a great job. I mean, you know, I got 7,000 employees. Maybe I don't like every one of them.
You like us, though. You like us, though.
I don't like you. I love you.
Okay, good. Okay, good. All right. We wanted to make sure.
He was really impressed with your cyber force.
Yeah, I had to.
Could you tell that?
We have the Navy for sea. We have the Air Force. We have the Marines. We have the Army for land. And now we have Space Force for God knows. I won't release on this show what Space Force is really for.
Margo's waving her hands over here.
Well, Margo, go ahead. What's Space Force for?
No, I
thought that's why you're raising your hand.
No, I didn't want you to say what you're not supposed
I'm
to
not
say.
I'm not going
to
say.
Yeah, she's prepping you. She's trying to cut you off. She's trying to cut you off. But he teed it up. So when he said Space Force, I just interviewed John actually on my show here, on my wonderful show at night at 10 o'clock. By the way, we're going to rerun the interview of President Trump, everybody, in full tonight. If you didn't get a chance to hear it, if you're just tuning in here on 77 WABC, we're going to rerun it tonight. But when you were on my show, John, and you were talking about the pipeline, and John, I love the idea of a cyber force. And it was such an...
You need it.
Yeah, so desperate. And you could tell he got it right away, John. That was great.
Because we're under attack.
We're under attack. This is the war of 2021. It's a different kind of war. They're not using nuclear bombs. They're not using bullets. They're not using... But they are attacking our computers that right now we need them to run our businesses. We run our banks. We run our generators. We run our grid. Our internet, everything runs with the computers. I mean, could you imagine if somehow they got to the grid and they shut down all our electricity? What would we do?
Well, that's what people are so worried about. I mean, when we saw what happened with this one case, by the way,
if those computers are not pipeline are gettable, then the grid is gettable.
Yeah, and that's what, you know, John, you know me. You're looking at my stack of papers. I probably had another, like, you guys know how much homework I do, right? I probably had another, like, 50 questions. Had I had time, I would have asked about the broader, the electrical grid. I would have also asked him what he thought of the ransom, which you also brought up, which was paid. Does he think it's a good idea to pay ransoms? Would he have advised against it?
You have no choice, Rita.
Yeah, no, I know. It's a tough situation for a company.
The country has to move on.
Yep.
The mail must go through.
Yeah, well, that's why we saw how devastating it was. You're right. I mean,
so talking about Cyberforce, many agencies in the United States government already have internal cybersecurity teams,
but we don't
including
have enough
the Defense
of that.
Department
right.
and the CIA.
And
yeah. But
I'm not going to ask you, Monica, how much did you pay them at the Treasury Department?
It's not. Well, we had a separate unit, but it's the Defense Department, the CIA, the intelligence services, but there is no coordinated effort. Remember after 9/11, we dropped the walls so that they could all communicate and we consolidated. We even created a Department of Homeland Security after 9/11. So perhaps this is a wake-up call where we can consolidate some of our efforts here.
No, I think we have to train more people. That's what Cyber Force University has to be, where you train thousands and thousands of people, and for paying for their training, for paying for their university, the same as West Point or the Air Force Academy or the or Annapolis, you have to serve the government for a minimum of 5 years before you can go off to Twitter or go off to Google and earn $300,000 a year instead of $150,000.
And John's point is to keep your correct me if I'm wrong, John, but also to keep people that are keep the high quality there, because as you know, sadly, they don't people don't get paid enough in government. Like we don't get paid, cops don't get paid a lot, but to have really high quality, so they want to do it.
Okay, we're going to have to take a break, and we're going to come back in a few minutes. And I understand Peter King has called in, so I'm going to have at least one more man with me.
We'll let you do it.
Okay.
All right.
You got it. Let's take a break, and we'll come back, and former Congressman Peter King will be with us still.
Rita Cosby spoke with Donald Trump for a special one-on-one interview on 77 WABC. Trump talked immigration. Biden.
How would you rate what you're seeing now from the Biden administration and how they're handling the border?
Well, the border gets an F. That's easy.
What's next for MAGA and his plans for 2024?
Well, I'm loving what I do, and I'm loving the results that we've had, and I think people will be very happy with my decision.
For more, go to 77WABCRadio.com.
Stay tuned.
Talk Radio 77 WABC.
John Katzmatidis here, and I'm here with four beautiful ladies. And I understand we have another gentleman coming on.
We do. We have Congressman Peter King, who is joining us here on the Cats at Night show. Hi, Congressman.
Hey, great to talk to you. And let me just say, Rita did an absolutely fantastic job. It was a great interview.
Thank you.
That the president came across very well. I think he has the American people on his side when it comes to the vaccine, when it comes to immigration, when it comes to Israel, when it comes to energy. I mean, these are the key issues today. I think he's really, I would advise him to focus on that. Don't keep bringing up the last election. Focus on the issues that really matter to people day in and day out. These are the issues that are going to save us or not save us as a country. And he's been right on all of them. That's what you should really focus on. I mean, I can't imagine any, except the hardcore partisans, people disagreeing with the job he did on the vaccine, how immigration has fallen apart since he left office, how Israel, there was such a thing as peace in the Middle East. We had it under President Trump, and with energy, made us energy independent, and now we're at great risk of losing all of that. So on the key issues, he was right, and he'll continue to be right, and that's what I really suggest you focus on.
And whoever missed it, it's going to replay tonight on Rita's show, 10 o'clock?
10 o'clock, and we're going to run the whole thing, too, because it was so good.
So you listen to Bill O'Reilly between 9 and 10, and at 10 o'clock, you listen to Rita interviewing the former president of the United States.
Talking about a lot of things. By the way, Peter, did you hear him talk about somebody we know, John Katzmatidis' idea of cyber force? Did you hear about that?
All he was doing is the same thing that all of us say about John, okay? He knows what he's talking about.
I mean, even the former president knows that, Peter. Come on.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I'm saying. That's like common knowledge, especially when it comes to energy. I mean, John has been right on this all along. I mean, from day one with the Keystone Pipeline, he predicted how inflation was going to come, jobs are going to be lost, and it was going to run through the entire economy, not just the energy sector, but everything, all the goods, everything that depends on energy and fuel. And on this, John is right about the energy force. I think we need it. We have to have the dedication to it. President Trump started the Space Force. I think we really need the energy. To be honest with you, I don't think any of us, we should have been, but we're not fully aware, John was, but of how dangerous this situation is and how vulnerable we are. I mean, as John was saying, if we lose the electric grid or you go down the line, we could be paralyzed.
Definitely paralyzed. Well, Congressman, what do you think? I mean,
you think he'll run again? You think Trump has a chance?
I think he's going to run again, you guys. Knowing him, did you hear his, the way he was talking, I would, you heard what I said. I tried to use the Atlantic City bet thing on him. But he,
I think what you say, the house flips.
But he, I think he has to get some personality that brings people more together than breaking him apart. Monica, you've been in Washington for a while.
Well, I love Donald Trump so much that I went to Washington to work for him at the Treasury Department. Look, I think he is in his 70s, so his personality is not going to change, but perhaps some of the messaging or tone, like what we saw with you today, Rita, maybe if he tries this again, you'll see a different kind of rhythm from him and presentation of the positions. But in many ways, given the disaster that is befallen controlling this country under this new president. Really, Donald Trump doesn't have to do much if he decides to run again, because the comparison between the Biden years and the Trump years is going to be extraordinary.
We got 30 seconds left, and I want to thank Rita Cosby. You did a great job.
Thank
Monica
you, John.
Crowley, Margot Katsimatidis, Linda Serrani, and Peter King. Thank you for calling in. And
thank you, John.
And God bless New York, and God bless America.